CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today in studio, Jacob Weiss of Chalkboards. How's it going, sir?
It's going good.
It's been a while since you've been on the show.
It doesn't feel like a while, but it has been.
Well, because you have been, if you're wondering what today's topic's going to be already ahead of time, it's going to probably be South by Southwest because we are a week out of it.
Not even.
Not
really
even.
Like 3 days, maybe. 2-3 days.
It feels like a week.
I mean, I slept for a whole day afterwards.
Because South By is that weird time. Like, this South By was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that made me realize how interesting it was actually the first Friday of Interactive, or the first day of Interactive, because we had Obama in town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
That was very...
I mean, I didn't do anything, but that was weird.
Well, no, because I went downtown, because I went, like, fucking early, and not knowing what the hell to do. What was strange about it, because I was there, because Friday was also the day they opened up South by Create, and I was like, oh, you know, I'll bum around South by Create, it'd be kind of fun, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I went downtown Friday, and it was so weird around the Palmer, because that's where the president was. For those who have no idea about Austin, Texas, and downtown, to give a quick rundown, typically all the events that happen for the actual convention proper, like the keynote, typically happen, you know, there in like one of the halls of the convention center. It typically doesn't take up, you know, the entire Palmer Event Center.
Even
a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And so I go there at like 9 to kind of just wait around, bum around until like 11 for Create, because I don't have a badge, so there's no way I'm getting into Obama.
Yeah.
Line was already like halfway around the building. And the Palmer Event Center, for those who have no idea, is, for lack of better words, huge as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no, like, it is a proper event center. You know?
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah. Sure.
But it was crazy because it was so weird. It was so weird going to the Palmer and realizing all the walks of life were there, because, like, as I was walking back from the Create, whatever, like, I think, like, every activist for everything was just kind of chilling around there, hoping to bump into people.
Yeah.
For whatever walk of life you supported, you know, good, bad, mm-hmm. You know, ill or otherwise. It was just like everyone was just there. And I was like, man, this is bizarre. This never happens at South By. But the minute you kind of got away from the Palmer on Friday, everything else was like typically on a Friday for South By, would, you know, because mm-hmm. Friday's the first day, everyone kind of flies in, no mm-hmm. one's, you know, doing anything. But the minute you left kind of that area, it's just like, well, it's pretty much empty. I mean, empty within South By standards. Actually, this Interactive this year felt a lot less packed.
The whole South By felt a lot less packed. I don't know if you felt that way too.
Music I did not, but that's because, I mean, the problem with music is that it's already been 2 years where this has happened, where it's intersected with St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And that's like the corner of fucking you.
Yeah.
Because it just, it you know, it becomes less like 6th Street becomes a sea of people.
Yeah.
And it's just no.
Yeah.
No. Because I'll come out of like, yeah. Oh, that's right. The venue I want to go to is like across 6th Street.
Yeah.
It becomes less of like, oh, I want to chill on 6th Street. It becomes like, how the fuck do I get off of this road now?
Yeah,
and like, is there any alternate paths? You know, how do I pathfind out of here? But yeah, it felt weird, like Interactive for sure. And it just felt, I don't know if it's because everything this year felt more, like everything, a lot of the events were very badge heavy. Not all the music events, but a lot of Interactive events usually are, but even some of the parties, like, yeah, you can get in if you want to. But
yeah,
a lot this year felt very much a, if you don't have a badge, you can't really do anything, which makes sense. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and that's just South By in general. Like, it feels so branded and just, like, exclusive. It's hard to find things sometimes that are just open to anyone.
Well, if only at South By there was an event
yeah.
that was open to everybody.
Yeah.
That was away from the mess of downtown, mind
Super
you.
Super far away. Yeah.
Super far away,
in the opposite
direction. But you know, away from the mess.
Yeah.
At a very cool venue. It just happened to be this weird dorky thing where people are playing music on their Game Boys. If only that had existed, Jacob, at
yeah.
South By.
Yeah, yeah. I would have gone to that. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you should have hosted that. Of course, we're talking about, actually, that's a weird segue to the reason I have Jacob on, the prime reason beyond talking about South By and everything else in general, was the event that you threw, which mm-hmm. was Square by Square Wave. I guess it's the fourth rendition.
I mean, technically there have been six shows, but this is the fourth year.
Right, because ultimately we've had, let's see, because there have been, I'd like to say, God, I don't even know how many chiptune shows. Because, like, again, I remember the, there was the, now we have to go back there, because I remember the year that was, I guess it's some guy's house. It was like a house party.
Yeah, that actually happened a couple of times. Last year, we had a show at the 21st Street Co-op.
Right.
And we also had one at Michael Dillon's house. Michael Dillon is the guitarist and primary songwriter of Love Hurts,
yeah.
the band that I'm in. Yeah, it was just in his living room. We were going to have it in his backyard because it's huge, but it rained all day. So it was kind of a weird show to say the least. But then the year before that we had it at his previous house in his backyard, and it was maybe my favorite Square By we've ever done.
Well, because that was the year that I think you and I met.
Yeah,
that was the year because it was, you guys had played, and I saw you play at a concert, liked you guys. And I think I saw you, I was like, I came early because I was interviewing Megaran at the time.
Yeah,
and I was just like, well, the thing said it this time, so I'll come by. And you're like, the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. I'm like, well, I go, I'm just here, just kind of this. Well, do you want to help? I go, yeah, sure, why not?
And carry,
I
like,
help carry the equipment,
and stuff, yeah.
pull the keg in, that kind of,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
became the defunct roadie because
yeah.
it's like, what else are you going to do? Like, I don't know, what else am I going to do? I'm waiting around till I interview time. Even then, it doesn't matter. I'm here for your music.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool show because it was just like, you know, very chill, very interesting. I had some friends of mine were like, man, you know, who had never really experienced chiptunes before, like, who were there for Megaran, was just like, you got to come and experience this chiptune thing, because I think IYD
played, Knife City played, Danimal Cannon played,
yep.
Love Hurts,
yeah.
Kema, what's his name, from like Mexico, he was
yeah.
just like around. It was just,
it was a very weird one. I mean, as much as I love every event you've thrown,
yeah,
any event with IYD, it just becomes,
yeah, although IYD is not, that's, that project is gone.
Is it done now?
It's officially dead. Apparently one of his carts with all of his songs died, so it's like that music is just,
oh no,
gone. So you know, that's,
so he's not
death by chiptune.
Interesting. So he's not gonna do anything, or
he's working on Ableton music, and
oh,
he's
okay.
actually he played some shows during South By as AD Luna.
Oh, okay.
Or as like Mr. Computer.
Well,
like,
I'm glad I saw the last really, like, because like the last time I saw IYD perform,
yeah.
and again, though his carts are dead, the music still lives on there on
and the internet, 8-bit for sure.
You know, I think 8-bit Peoples has it.
Yeah, it's all, and he released his CD and it's on Bandcamp.
Yeah,
so, like,
so go buy it. You know,
but like as far as performances go,
yeah, that sucks.
That's yeah,
because like that's like what was funny, and for me, like last time I saw him live was actually at a Rooster Teeth event, specifically Let's Play Live, because like the guy that runs it, or part of the Achievement Hunters there, Jack Patillo, had saw him, surprisingly enough, at the exact same time I'd saw him first, at that like one time before it was destroyed and before it was the Highball.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
It was this, like, random warehouse
oh,
that
man.
Was, like, it used to be something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they said, well, let's have this weird chiptune show with, like, Null Sleep and Bitshifter
yeah.
and this guy by the name of IOID.
Yeah.
And I knew who Bitshifter and Null Sleep were, but I had no idea of who this other guy was. And this, you know, guy busts out a phone and a Game Boy. Says,
yeah.
Get closer. Like, okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then starts, you know, to just, you know, blow, you know, blows everyone's fucking mind away.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that bums me out that he's no longer doing, like, I mean, he could he can't reproduce that magic, but he could just, you know, figure something out.
For sure. I mean, and this is, again, we can talk more about this if you want later or just start it now.
Yeah,
but like,
now, fuck it.
Like, okay, so I don't know if, talking about this year in particular.
Yeah.
If you noticed, probably did, that there was a set with Cosmostanza and
I did.
Astroskeleton that was not. Decidedly not chip. It was just like more.
There were a couple of like
noisy
non-rock
garage.
Yeah,
rock
there's some
music.
Rock stuff going on. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well,
as a guy, and again, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Because to me, music is music. And, yeah. And I am not going to be the one to ever be to say exclusionary. Because again, when we start talking about, you know, what is chiptunes? Don't get granted. That is not, you know, in any capacity chiptunes. But then on the same accord, you can say, well, is Anna Monoguchi chiptunes? Like, well, yeah, of course. But they get, but they have guitar and stuff like that. You know, like, or like chalkboards or even Love Hurts, the idea of like, just by having a Game Boy, does that make it chiptunes? But again, I don't. For me, that wasn't a big deal because it just felt like maybe Square, you know, to me, almost felt like just,
but
here's a weird music. Hey, go on.
So, yeah. So, Astroskeleton is a, it started as this one guy project in Oregon, and he released a really good album called You Are Not Alone. And it was very, like, Ness heavy with some guitar, maybe a little bit of drums, but primarily chiptune. And he's been straying away from that ever since. He played the set with a full band this year, and they're working on an album that will have no chips on it at all. And so they premiered a lot of that stuff. It's really great, but like it's a band that like started chiptune, became totally not chiptune. So they're playing a show at a chip fest as a chip band, which like I'm cool with that, but. I don't know how, like, a crowd would react. And then Cosmostanza is just some friends that we know from Oklahoma. They've never done chiptune. They never will do chiptune. But they're, like, friends, so that we we threw a set together where they, like, would, like, swap between, like, songs.
Which I thought worked well. I think the only issue, and this is where you know, we start talking about, this is where the now sound engineer in my head comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
At times, I mean, the venue was great. We'll talk about the venue in a second. But I felt like the venue wasn't either sound mixed for that area.
For sure.
For that kind of music, because it's great music.
It was
loud.
I kept turning down their amps because I was running sound all night. I didn't perform. And I kept turning down their amps, and they would keep saying, like, turn up the amps. And I'd be, like, turning it down, like, okay, I gotcha. like, the whole night, you know.
Because it was loud. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I love loud music, and I do.
No,
but it's like... Like, when you tune for chip, you have to kind of amplify it a bit, just because of the nature of the chip, versus, like, when you have a guitar, you don't need to do a damn thing in that room.
Yeah.
The thing is, you could hear the music, like, on the other side of the brewery.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But anyways, so that was, like, a definite not chip set that happened. And then also you've got bands, like, even Slime Girls.
Yep. I'm about to say the same thing.
Who's still doing electronic music, still playing old songs, but, like, sort of remixing them with different instrumentation. And it just seems like there's this general trend for some chip musicians just going away from the genre.
Well, because I think what it is that, and I think really where we come down to it, chiptunes is a very niche music type, which to me, ultimately, all kind of really interesting music types are kind of niche.
Yeah.
Not because no other music types aren't interesting, but like... I've recently started getting a lot more into indie music, specifically because a lot of games have featured, like Life is Strange featured a very heavy indie soundtrack, and I've kind of started I've started realizing as I go to Japan nights, stuff like that, and it's in indie Japanese, I tend to skew towards that side, and that's just, you know, very amalgamation of generality. It's indie music. Well, what does that mean? Well, I guess it means they're not labeled. What if they are labeled in that? Well, you know, but. When you talk about sort of bands that go beyond, even like we talk about, you know, within our genre, chiptunes.
Yeah.
Like Anna Monoguchi is our poster child, well, if you will, of like success. I put that in quotation marks.
Turn dark horse, like very vocally against chiptune now, which is fine. But I don't know. It's weird because I feel like they started this trend of people being like, oh, it's cool that you can take one thing and a different thing that don't go together and add them together and then do something interesting with it.
And that's what I always liked.
Of people followed in that way. And now it's kind of like I don't know. I guess people kind of like took it to mean like, okay, well, we just need to abandon a Nintendo or abandon a Game Boy and that's it. But then like... there's not been a whole lot of like evolution as far as I can tell.
That's sort of what I'm
of like genre mixing.
That's what I'm sort of getting at is that I think, and this is where I start seeing a lot of the genre mix. And I realized that when Megaran left, last did it, actually did a tour in Japan. I have a documentary up here. He had a lot of Japanese chiptunes people on him.
Yeah.
And I realized that's, you know, it's funny when we start talking about scenes of music and everything else, you know, and chiptunes have always had, like, at least, I can say, at least two big prominent city scenes,
mm-hmm.
one being New York, mm-hmm. The other being Tokyo.
Yeah.
And there's other cities as well, you know, some European ones and Australian ones. It's not to discount any of those other scenes.
No, yeah.
But we talk about the two, you know. There's a reason why Blipfest happened in those two towns over, yeah. you know, over the course of that event's life.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's cool seeing like a lot of those like, you know, chip songs become backbeats
yeah.
to a hip hop artist. And I think the problem with chiptunes and really where it suffers is a lot of times people tend to do the same thing in chiptunes. They tend to
yeah.
you know, they tend to make the same electronic sound. Like I mean, yes, it's electronic always, but they tend to always skew towards dance or EDM or, mm-hmm. or very electronic, which I don't mind. I love that.
Yeah.
But I always find it very appreciative when someone kind of tries to do something different and something a bit unique. And I think that might be why people tend to stray away from it, because it has such this moniker of like, well, it's game related, it's that, and it's kitschy, and that's the gag, is that it's 8-bit. I go, you know, but if you're in the genre, much like we talked about in the past,
yeah.
that's not quite it. There's more to it than simply the fact that you're making music on this little, you know,
yeah.
Z90 some odd chip.
Yeah, and I think people are just kind of like really frustrated who've been in the scene with like, even if you get like a story or an article or anyone says anything about it, it always has to start with the Game Boy or the Nintendo, and it's yeah. like the music is almost like a secondary feature.
Yeah.
And even there's a kind of funny thing. Do you know the band Crying?
No.
Crying is from New York, and they came out of like a college scene, and they very much are not a chiptune band, but they just use a Game Boy
right.
as part of the set. They've got drums, guitar, a female vocalist, and a Game Boy. And one of their songs or something got posted even like to Pitchfork Media, and they just like talked about like all these weird things, like this emo video game, and like all these like saying like they must have been inspired by this, they must have been inspired by that, and then didn't even like talk about the track at all, just kind of like, oh, isn't it so funny that like they would be inspired by this dumb video game, and like, and it was just, and I know them as a band that we've played with them,
right.
and like just like it was like so disrespectful.
Well, because that's sort of the weird. I mean, chiptunes has always had this very strange history. I mean, because again, if you're outside of the genre, if mm-hmm. you're outside of things, you tend to look at it as, oh, that's just guys, you know, fucking around with their Nintendos or Game Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And making, you know, making sounds and mm-hmm. and you know, and again, if you talk to anybody outside of even gaming in a weird way, you're like, well, yeah. What do you know about video games? Well, Mario, the Nintendo, and that sort
yeah.
of, you know, people think that like, oh, they're just making video game music. Like,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
No, not quite. You know, but once you start getting more of the genre, I realized this as I got more into the genre of chiptunes, that it became part of the, like, this is where it became, I realized like I was kind of a little bit of not a snob per se, but kind of a weird, I don't know if it's snobs the correct word, but something where I started getting really angry at like I'll put it this way. Whenever I look for a chiptunes version of a song, if I want to hear a cover of it,
mm-hmm.
I don't put in X song and 8-bit.
Yeah.
Because all it comes up is some jackass that,
yeah.
that like, you know, well, I guess my keyboard could have that weird effect. Like, not quite.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go up, you know, try, you know, YMCK, you know, YMCK's, you know, Magic, you know, 8-bit plug, you know, the 8-bit yeah. plugin, which does a great job, by the way. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to get there, I started putting in Xsong Famitracker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Because that's the
yeah.
only way to make sure that I get, like, anything remotely like, chip-based and,
oh,
and
yeah.
that. But then I started getting more and more into, like, specific sounds of chips. Like, I had it for a while that I always loved the sound of, I forget what the chip. What I know who makes a chip. I forget the model of it. It's like the Yamaha, not the one that's on in the Genesis, but the one that's typically in arcades, like Atari ones, like Paperboy or Marble Madness. Like I always loved the sound of that kind of weirdly overly synth sound. You know, mm-hmm. it had this kind of, you know, very hard. You know, that. So it's interesting as I've gotten more into the genre of music on chips, mm-hmm. not just chip tunes, you know, by any things, but like even musicians of video games, they'll start to study, you know, I'll actually start to study things like I can't believe you pulled this off with this channel or how'd you do this with only four channels? And I start studying. And again,
yeah,
that's, I think, when you become a connoisseur is when you start studying shit.
And that's
like any other music.
Well, and that's the thing is like you just hit a real big point is like it's about the sound chips. That's why it's called chiptunes.
That's why I always when people ask like what is chiptunes, I go, well, typically technically chiptunes, and the way I explain it, and this is for everybody now who has no idea what the hell we're talking about, typically chiptunes or at a very technical level is just music made with a chip.
Yeah,
that doesn't necessarily mean a Nintendo or a Game Boy. That can be something as simple as like there's a on, I think it's for what documentary it was, the chiptunes documentary, but I forget the damn name of it.
Reformat the Planet. Yeah.
They actually have a scene where they're talking to, and I would love to hear this just on a weird level, where these guys are making essentially, you know, mono channel chiptune music.
Yeah, and Tristan Parrish.
That sounds bizarre and interesting, intriguing.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's like a weird experiment, and it becomes this weird maker experiment. And I'm like, yeah. I can get behind that as a guy that's now kind of getting into makering, but even the idea of, like, you're making this weird sound with stuff like that, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Yeah, yeah.
But typically, that's the technical term. The more colloquial term is that it's music made on a game, on old video game hardware. I know that's simplifying that's the more generality term, and it's hard because, you know, when you talk about the genre, I think, you know, because it's so damn niche that people just try to because again everyone wants to hear the music, but after a certain period you just kind of, you know, bum the same kind of people that want to hear the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think the limiting factor of chiptunes is a lot of the times the audience is very much has an idea of what it is and what it
isn't. For sure. Yeah.
And I think that's always a bad thing.
And it does tend to get into that whole, like, the people who are already into it are going to get deeper into it, and the people who aren't are going to, like, get out. And, like, it doesn't have, like, a mass appeal or anything.
No.
Which is why it's so nice to put on a festival or a thing where people who are from different places can get into it, because there's scenes everywhere. Even Oklahoma has a scene. There's two or three people. D-Boyd played, and he recently got like second place in the winter chip competition.
That's awesome.
Battle of the Bits. Out of like 250
people. Because
who are the
two guys
because
he had a lot of versus sets in there, but who are the two?
Just two. But yeah, we were going to. Okay, so.
Because who was that? Because I know there was one of the bands, and there was like.
The whole night was supposed to be a versus thing, and we were originally. Okay, so Sievert played.
Yeah. Yep.
Sievert is Jared Blondo. He also runs the wrestling league, the Party World Wrestling.
Yeah.
And so we hosted it at the event that they keep all of their wrestling ring and all of their like equipment in. And so, you know, originally he was like, we should do it in the wrestling ring. So it'd be
amazing.
Like an actual like battle of the
battle of the bits.
Sure.
There you go.
And do like play up the cheesiness of that. But then other
oh my
people,
God, I would love to see.
Yeah, no, for sure. But then other people like had issue.
That would have
been
cool. That would have been a really good set for Mysterious H.
Yeah, Mysterious H is a wrestler too. In
I know.
Town. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Why? That would, yeah. Like, that would have been a perfect set for
and,
just,
like having like everyone have like intro music
yep.
and just like. Okay, well, it didn't happen because
right.
you know we figured people and instruments and things in a ring, probably not the best idea, but it could have been awesome.
It
anyways,
been.
So.
Next
we,
year.
We scrapped the Versus thing, but then a couple of people still wanted to collaborate, which is cool.
Yeah.
So the other Versus set was Skybox, who used to be Shojukis.
Right.
Who had to change his name, but he's still the same guy making the same music, and he's still awesome. And then Starfighter Dreams from San Antonio.
Which I thought that was a really cool set. I mean, I liked both Versus, but that one, I mean, again, yes, I'm into chiptunes, but I thought it was a really cool set of them kind of.
Well, it was cool because the band's one, they very much went into it as like a head-to-head, like versus, like, we're going to play louder than you, we're going
right.
to like play faster and like just like
right.
do more
typical
solos
battle of the bands,
and just like
yeah.
they're friends, but like it was very much like a who's going to win. The other one was very much like a collaborative set, and I even heard them talking about it just like 10 minutes before they went on or whatever that night, where Matt Starfighter Dreams was like, yeah, I got a set planned out. Like, what are you playing? And Michael Skybox was like, I don't have anything planned. I'm just going to like improvise off of you.
Oh,
so like the whole
God.
Thing was just like him listening and being like, oh, I got a cool song that'll go like really well with this.
That's,
and then like mix that, it
that's
in.
The ultimate. That's like two DJs teaming up.
And, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Right.
And I was like right up front, because I was like mixing everything and like making sure the tech stuff went okay. And I also noticed like Michael had his DJ like mixer there. And like he would be like just like during Matt's songs he never heard before. I mean, maybe he'd heard them before, but never performed before. And like just like tweaking stuff and like throwing in like little like fills with, yep, like a little like, yep, chaos pad type thing. And just like, I don't know, it was like really beautiful, like to see,
yeah,
two
no,
musicians
it, it,
who
it went really well, and I think
like
a lot
gelled
of,
so much.
Like, I think that's what was interesting about it, you know, because again, yes, there are bands that were not chip tunes, but I, you know, for me, that's not a big enough deal to get angry and up in arms about, because,
yeah,
you know, what are you,
yeah,
going to do if a band wants to play music and you've booked them on there? It's all, now you can't, now you're going to say,
for sure,
I'm sorry, guys, you can't play this. You're not going to be that asshole, because,
yeah,
like, you know, you don't want to be that guy of like, I'm running the event and it's chiptunes only, and if you,
well,
don't play chiptunes, we're gonna, you know, blur,
yeah,
birds. Like,
well,
no,
yeah, well,
that's not the point.
I mean, but then it's like, it's also not about me. Like,
right,
I like a lot of music, but I don't know, if someone comes to a show, if someone were to go to like any other type of folk show and then like here comes like a metal band, like for like a set,
I guess that's true.
You don't know what's gonna happen, but
I'll put it this way. I've always felt that chiptunes is the new punk. If that,
yeah,
makes any sense. I've always had that feel.
Yeah.
And even more so when you saw all the visuals made by, who was it? It was Slime,
oh,
Girls, but what's her?
So it was actually a bunch of people. Steven Fishman, who's,
right,
in the band Total Unicorn. Bubblebat.
I think Bubblebat's
she's
one of the
from,
gift.
Well, she's from California.
Okay.
And she works with Slime Girls and Astro Skeleton and them a,
yeah,
lot. And Party Time Hexcellent, Rachel from Austin, and then Vision System,
okay,
from Austin.
Okay, whose idea of those four? I want to know this because I almost believed it was Anna, the other, your other counterpart of
yeah,
Chalkboards,
yeah,
but it wasn't. I want to know whose brilliant idea it was to put all like the weird like fancy girl Lala and all the magical,
oh, the magical girl.
Was
that's got to be Bubble Bat.
That was so,
I
fucking
mean,
hilarious.
Or
like,
Rachel,
so
though. Rachel, Party Time Excellent. She loves like Sailor Moon and like,
because it was so funny,
all
just
that
like
aesthetic.
Like catching all these, like, is that Cardcaptor Sakura?
Oh yeah,
I like that's
Bat.
Fancy Lala. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm seeing all these pretty girls, you know, these magical girls in the background as like, you know, chiptunes music going.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is just a weird, cool fusion. I definitely dug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, half the fun of a chiptunes concert, I think, are the visuals.
Yeah,
done right.
Man, the visuals too, like, they're like always so good, and like no one really knows, like they're watching it and appreciating it, but then you don't know like who's doing that.
Well, that's why I want to know more, because a lot of times at a chiptunes concert, now we're talking about the mechanics of it, which, you know, we can kind of get into on a technical level how that worked out.
Yeah.
Especially the venue was the
fourth
Tap Brew
Co-op,
yeah, which is
in
a great,
North Austin.
You know, it's funny, I had friends of mine who were visiting town for another thing. And they're leaving Tuesday, so like, when you guys going to come to the chiptunes thing? Oh, yeah, sure. I didn't realize they had a brewery, and they're just like, this is a brewery? And they had the beer, like, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
this
it's
is
great.
Great.
Yeah, it's so good. They just opened like 6 months ago, and they're, again, hosting the wrestling show, and they're kind of branching out more for events and things, but man, they're just like awesome guys. That,
yeah, no. We actually, my friends got a chance to talk with the head brew guy.
Yeah.
I don't know, I forgot his name, but he was a shaved head and a beard.
That's a lot of them have shaved
heads. Right.
I totally forget
the guy's name,
so
I feel bad. But they were like chatting up all night and kind of, you know, asking about the different beers, you know, how they brewed it. And, you know, they had a fun time because they're in a beer. Whereas I'm in the music, so I had a fun time as well.
Yeah.
But going back to kind of what we're talking about when it came to visuals, typically at a chiptunes concert, there is usually a visual component.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The idea of like something in the background playing. It could be something as simple as a video that's pre-recorded and done stuff. Something as complex as a guy is literally, you know, behind with a Nintendo or something weird and like, you know, moving dials and you know, almost like, you know, a mad visual scientist, you know, hacking things live.
And again, I've got to shout out Party Time Hexcellent. I don't think she was doing it this time. She had a new setup. But in the past few years, what she would do is take a Nintendo,
yep,
standard Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
She would take her PC laptop and code out in text edit or just like text pad hexadecimal code and just like make a program in there, put it on one of those like smart carts, yep. the flash carts,
yep.
pop it in the Nintendo and make a whole from scratch program to project visuals,
yep.
create the visuals, and glitch the visuals.
I need
using
to meet,
nothing but a Nintendo and a standard controller.
I need to meet this girl and hope to God she's single. If nothing more, I need to at least meet this girl because like I for me, you know, kind of flashback to something else. It was during this past Fantastic Arcade, I got to meet these guys that actually this guy's now has a successful Kickstarter for a Nintendo kind of weird game like gun stuff. You know, Super Rush.
Russian Roulette.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Batsley Adams.
Right, Batsley Adams. Yeah, you guys had the event for. I missed it though, but you guys had the fundraiser event for it.
Batsley Adams and Party Time Hexcellent, they've collabed together.
Oh, cool.
On things.
Perfect. Then yeah,
like. They're some of the truest chiptune
people
who exist in
the
world.
I got to meet him, thankfully, at Fantastic Arcade, and is actually at a panel where they're talking about the game. I got drafted up on stage to play Contra. As it turns out, they had had they had hacked the Nintendo to have this sort of device that would interpret, you know, tweets and whatnot or whatever, text commands if sent to a certain thing. To do fucked up shit to my game, and I'm playing Contra, not knowing what the fuck the effects are happening, there's just weird shit happening on screen. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, it was this weird thing. I go, should I put the code in for the 20 lives? Like, oh, you won't need it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Because we're going to crash this son of a bitch every time. We crash that Nintendo so many times. I feel bad for that Nintendo. It was doing things it was not it was not like, what the fuck? It wasn't like, oh, wow, the glitch game's like, no, you are killing me.
Yeah,
it was amazing. It was such a cool event. It was such a fun thing. It was like this weird, surreal moment of like, you know, glitch hacking meets the internet meets everything, and I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad that they collaborated because, like, that's the fun stuff for me is that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's kind of talk about the technical thing. So, obviously, you've had it at, you know, all the previous events at, like, random places you can. This is the first time you've actually had it at, like, some type of venue proper?
So the first Square By we ever had it at was at Salvage Vanguard Theater, which is now closing either this year or they already closed. I'm not exactly sure. But that's kind of like a DIY space for theater and music and just art shows that are weird in general. We lucked into that. That was a great first show. Just a beautiful space. We hung like a huge, like 40-foot, like like a tarp for like visuals.
Right.
And again, that was like very like majestic, like huge visual setup, like a movie screen, and then just like people on the floor, and it was really cool. The next year, every place in town was totally closed, like to us who have no money.
Right, exactly. This is the kicker for, because I remember like I'll put it this way. I remember the first chiptunes thing I went to here in Austin, which was for me. I guess it would have to have been. What was it? The highball? Was it like, I forget what the event name was called. It's never happened. It has not happened again.
Well, they did it a couple times. It like. Weird intervals, but what was it called? It wasn't Blipfest. It was Data Pop,
right?
Data Pop,
and like the second Data Pop was like, well, we need a Kickstarter to add this fund, which I contributed to and helped because I'm like, I want chiptunes to happen. I love chiptunes,
man. And yeah, Data Pop was so cool. That was like that Data Pop, whatever it was, 2, I think, was like my first intro to live chiptunes, and Onomatoguchi was there.
We both must have went to the same damn show.
Well,
then
that was not at the warehouse though. That was
right. That was
the
at the highball. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Then we went to the same. No, I went to that one. That's the one I kicked into. That's the one I helped bring that. Then.
Yeah.
I helped bring you to live chiptunes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I helped you get there.
No. Yeah.
I made it.
Yeah. You
did. I gave money. No, because it was so cool. Because it was so fun. I think like we had like a lot of Japanese acts come by. Like I think.
Oh man.
I think Hallie was there. That was the year Hallie, which is
Hallie was
which
there.
Which I would. That's sort of like why I'm looking forward to go. You know, I'm going actually into my plan. Is actually going to Japan in September for a chiptunes thing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing like a lot of the Japanese chiptunes acts because again, it's, I love chiptunes. I do enjoy it. And it's a lot, you know, at the beginning, yes, it was like, oh cool. It's video game sounding music. But as years have gone on, it became more of a, no, because like I'm not a Genesis guy. I never really played the Genesis, but yet I love the sound of that chip.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it became that weird thing of like now I know this stuff and I'm really excited. Or you know, as you go more in the Famicom side of things, you start learning about all the specialty chips that happened, and you start hearing different sounds, and you're like,
for sure. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going and hearing some of that music out of Japan, if nothing more, because like we're mentioning, it's dying here. There is scenes. It's just it's.
Yeah.
It's becoming harder and harder to find the new stuff.
Yeah, and even like, I mean, it's you can find so much music online, but just like being in a space where it's happening and yeah. like I don't know, like even at Square by Square Wave, I know most people were just if they were playing chiptunes, it was just a Game Boy, but like I did see at least like 3 or 4 people like walk up to the front explicitly to see like what are they using to like right. make these sounds and like watching the person come up and then just like having that moment like is that a Game Boy?
Well, because yeah,
I had that's a Game Boy. And well, I take a picture of it.
Well,
like,
what's funny is I became and this is because I'm so into the scene. I became for some people that were just there, kind of you know new that I'd never met. I became almost the de facto. And again, at the yeah. time at the event and sadly it's broken now. I got to actually repair it. But no. I had the I had an LED badge. I was kind of doing weird square points. So people think I'm actually. It's funny having those things. People think you're actually part of the event.
Yeah,
like that you're part of like the thing. Like I look like I work there, even though I'm there as a fan. When we go back to talking about this sort of thing, you know, I became that kind of weird, like, you know, not gatekeeper, but just sort of, because again, I don't want to ever like be like, no, you cannot come. Like, no, come on in, please.
Yeah.
If you find this interesting, come join the party. It's, you know, all are welcome. We have fun here. We're all weird, quirky peoples like you. I became having to explain, because like, so how are they doing this? Like, okay, well, typically this is, you know, I'd explain like, you know, I said my whole spiel, I meant, you know, what chiptunes is typically anything technically made on this, whatever, that stuff like that ever, and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, cool, a friend of mine just messaged that she got all the stuff she needed for the trip, speaking of which.
Oh, hey!
Speaking of which, for Japan, cool, so that'll cool. be done tomorrow. Maybe I take it soon. Yes, speak of the devil. But anyways, going back to this, so I'd have to explain kind of, you know, yeah, those are Game Boys making the music, and show them and explain that typically are 2 Game Boys, whatever. I had explained to some friends of mine when the Game Boy crashed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that did happen, yeah, yeah.
The way I say it, if a Game Boy doesn't crash during a chiptunes concert, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not doing it right. You're supposed to push these suckers to the fucking brim. If you don't, you're not doing it right. These things are not because we're not doing it. We're just doing weird, crazy things with these machines. They probably weren't meant to do, but fuck it. We're going to do it anyways. Again, it's that punk mentality that I love. And that's sort of what always has endeared me beyond the idea of the retro, beyond the idea of – because, again, after a certain point, like, chiptunes, music, whatever, I listen to that, you know, but beyond the retro of it has always been the idea of it, especially a live show. It always felt like we're flying by the seat of our damn pants.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something exciting about that.
Yeah, and it's kind of, even as Love Hurts and Chalkboards, we've definitely stopped using hardware live just because of things breaking or just problems or not wanting to carry all that gear. But like there's definitely a difference between just like playing an MP3 off your phone or your computer or whatever.
Yeah.
And actually like going into a song thinking like, well, it might break like I can't do anything about it. But like there's that little bit of extra magic when there's that threat of something not working that makes you really want to make it.
Which I think
even better.
I think that also might be what the appeal is to a lot of different people. Because like right now we're coming in a weird kind of cultural shift in general. The idea of people actually embracing the maker and embracing like making things, whether it be like electronics or even just something like sewing, whatever. You know, we have like now that community, and I think chiptunes very much because of the nature of what we're doing with the hardware that we have. And again, this isn't you know. This isn't music grade hardware. This isn't a Mac. This isn't a computer per se.
Yeah.
This is very much a thing that when it was designed was meant to run a cartridge that did a certain action and would always and wasn't even meant to run as long as they typically run.
Yeah.
You know, they were designed to do something else. And not to say that you know, you can't hack them to do other things.
Yeah.
It's that the Nintendo was designed to do this. The Game Boy was designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And always I love about chiptunes, it's like, what if we just hacked it to do this?
Yeah,
and what if we just did it to do it live? And you're just like,
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always fun. It's always a fun moment for me when a Game Boy crashes, just because no one... Because, again, everyone in the audience doesn't quite know what the fuck's going on. They just hear this, like, weird chiptune, you know, weird 8-bitty kind of sound, not knowing what it is. Yeah. I've only, as of late, become to be able to discern the Game Boy from the Nintendo in terms of a very much on a weird level. That's only as a guy that's listened to for years and studied and, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. But... it's always fun to see that crash and to see people say, oh, shit, it is a Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all clicks in, and then, like, it becomes this way more magical thing to them.
Yeah, and, you know, depending on the crowd, definitely whenever you get a crash, people typically cheer for that. Like
yeah, it's always fun, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I really believe that. It is not a chiptunes concert unless a fucking Game Boy. Some piece of hardware
something
has to break. It has to, and it's not breaking for whatever, because, you know, it'd be almost like if you have, again, it's like a Puck show. It's like the amp got unplugged or whatever, because you move the cable too fast, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, something can happen in any other music, but I think the beauty of live music, maybe that's what we're trying to get to, the beauty of live music is that if you're doing it right and not just playing, you know, the same sets, because typically what the appeal of a live band or a band that plays live is that they're going to do something a bit more unique. They're going to do something different than their recorded version.
And that even if you know the songs, that it's going to be slightly like a new, fresh experience for sure. And it's hard when everything about electronic music is like pre-recorded or it's sample based or whatever. So yeah, it's kind of like that reminder that, hey, you know, we're all struggling with like limitations and things like when something doesn't go right. And I don't know. I wish that happened more at chip shows, and that people didn't like fight against, you know, things not breaking, and instead, like, you know,
embracing it. Well, because a lot of people, I think what it boils down to, and this is sort of where I can imagine for the performer side, and I realize we're not even talking about the show yet, we're talking about the show.
Yeah.
When you're up on stage, you know, you almost feel, and I guess, and you could probably talk more about this, because I've yet to ever perform any kind of music on stage. The closest I've ever gotten to is emceeing a South by Night. That's as close as I've ever gotten to being like, hey, party people, I'm here to introduce the bands. But it's way different for the bands than it is for the, you know, jackass who's saying, coming up next, you know, Candy, whatever. You know, I'm not saying it was like that, but it's less stress for me and more stress for these guys performing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd imagine that, because you're up on stage and everyone's looking at you, that if things go wrong, they may not be amplified to the audience, but your brain goes, shit, they're going to see that.
Yeah, no, and that's, again, why Love Hurts had to stop using a Nintendo, was because at a show, like, the Nintendo just, like, wouldn't work. Like,
yeah, the Nintendo's like a turret.
You turn it, I don't know, it must be like the chip or whatever, but like you start it and it just like, it's like blue screen.
Well, then Nintendo itself, and here comes your fun hardware lesson of the day. There's a reason why both the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo 2, or if you're part of the family, or you're in Japan, the Famicom AV, has a top-loading one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know the story behind this?
Like, no,
do you
know, I don't.
So internally in the Nintendo itself, this is where the hardware. And the reason why they designed it this way was to look more like a VHS sort of thing.
Oh, yeah,
and look
yeah.
more 80s aesthetic and more for toy-like, sure, yeah. whatever. But, you know when you put the cartridge in, you push down, what you're doing is you're actually bending pins to connect with the cartridge thing. Because ultimately, to do visually, you have this sort of like weird kind of clamp thing here that when you depress, it kind of bends these pins there. And they're notorious for not bending correctly. They're notorious for being broken. Every time you thought that you had to like blow in the cartridge and do that thing, had nothing to do with that. Had absolutely nothing to do with that. That is but a myth of nothing. Dust does not do that. That is, in fact, you probably have a bad contact in some place that you'll never see. Like, one day I'll open up a Nintendo and take a picture of it, but it's just like this weird metal clamp. You can actually buy a replacement one for that and fix it.
Yeah, I've replaced them before. It's a pain.
Yeah. and so those things just notoriously break. you know, just on their own. That's why when you have a lot of broken Nintendos, I put that in quotation marks.
Yeah,
chances are they're not broken. It's just that one piece that you don't know about because if you don't know the internals of a Nintendo, none of this ever makes sense.
For sure, yeah.
But that's why when you have like the new top loading ones, or even like I said, the Super Nintendo's top loading, you don't really have those sorts of problems anymore.
Yeah,
there's other problems related to it, but not those sorts.
So, but anyways, so. You know, when the Nintendo dies and you can't use it, well, like, you don't have any choices other than, like, a pre-recorded thing. We would use two Game Boys in sync for chalkboards, and, like, if they get out of sync during a song, it's like, well, you just stop the song. Like, and that's not a crash so much as it is just a sync problem, so then it's, like, sounding weird. So, like, I understand, I do, like, from a performer's perspective, but from, like, an audience perspective, there's just that tension of, like, I want to see something that is actually happening, because that's the point of chiptunes.
Right.
It's not a computer.
Well, because a lot of people who don't make chiptunes, and I only know this because I don't make chiptunes, but I'm always fascinated by how things are created.
Yeah.
Especially anything, creative. Mm-hmm. That I know that LSDJ, and that's one of the two popular Game Boy.
It's pretty much the only one. I mean, that Tracker. No one uses Nanoloop.
It still exists.
We use Nanoloop. I haven't met anyone who uses it
either.
In a live performance setting.
I don't either. I don't want to be that. Look.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that says that because I don't want to be.
Oh, wait. Oh. Bow Constructor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Someone uses Nanoloop.
He specifically uses a Game Boy Advance to run Nanoloop 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. We're all good.
Right.
Yeah, Nanoloop is legit.
I never want to be the guy that, because again, like, that's such a weird contention of, like, LSDJ versus Nanoloop and versus everything.
It's 99 to 1. Everyone uses LSDJ.
It really boils down to, did you learn how to play? When you were a kid hacking music on the computer, did you use a tracker or did you use something else?
Yeah.
I use a tracker. Here's your copy of LSDJ. Sure. Enjoy. You know, that's really what it boils down to is, what did you learn interface-wise? Well, I learned how to do tracker. Here you go. Here's your cartridge. Have fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other choice, but typically when they have it, like, unless you know this about, like, because you mentioned about keeping Game Boys in sync, like, they keep in sync by the link cable and again, this is hardware that when you talk about the link cable, the only times I ever remember using the link cable on a
Pokemon
Game Boy, Pokemon and Tetris.
Tetris, yeah.
It's the only two times I've ever used a link cable on anything Game Boy related.
Yeah.
And
and even that, it didn't work that well.
No, it didn't. It was a piece of junk. It was a piece of crap. That's why they got rid of it quickly. Yeah. That's why like later versions of like the Game Boy Advance said, well, we'll try IR next, see if that works. Didn't work either. Fuck, what do we do? Oh, great. We'll use the internet now. Who gives a shit?
Move
the fuck on. You know, we'll just use ad hoc Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And that works out better. But, you know, that's what the world we lived in at that time, and it wasn't designed to do what it was barely working for what it was designed for, let alone keeping within like millisecond drift of like real time music,
like BPM and stuff.
Yeah,
for sure,
you know, because if you think about, like, again, you know this because you've worked in production and hardcore music. If you think about the idea that within very much like real hardware, I say real music hardware, there's a plug for like time code and like, you know, keeping things in a world clock, if you will. The idea of keeping shit in sync, that we are leaving that to this plastic cable that only kind of worked for the purposes it was designed for.
Like four pins or something.
And we're leaving that, and we're entrusting the idea to keep all these four game, you know, two Game Boys, four if you have the crazy, like, four, you know, four tap they invented, to keep all four of these sons of bitches in music sync. Well, and hoping to God it all works out. Like, of course it's going to drift. No offense to that, but of course it's going to drift. There's just no way. It just doesn't. It just doesn't happen. It's just the way, you know. It's so. And again, I love it because, like, this is the world of chiptunes. Is seeing these limitations of these chips of, you know, whether it be a Game Boy, a Nintendo, a Sega, even something as an Atari or whatever. Seeing the limitation of the chip. And how to push that sucker to its breaking point and not have it break.
Yeah.
And how to make this, you know, how to do something crazy within this weird confined structure. It's always the thing. I've always you know, that's endeared me to chiptunes. Everything else has sort of been like, yeah, I like the sound and sure. But as the years have gone on, it's the idea of, like, especially if you start studying older video game music, just the idea of how did you work within this limitation to make this, you know, because you think about something as, and this is something that's always kind of stuck in my head, you think of something as simple as the Mario tune, you know, that's anybody in the world, pretty much, anybody in the first world, maybe second and third, I don't want to, you know, generalize it, because there might be, you know, a tribe in Africa that has no idea who Mario is, that's totally cool. Of course, they're probably listening to the show, but if you do have, if somehow this becomes like the gods must be crazy, and you know, as the glass bottle falls down, and inside it's this weird, you know, audio chip of 8-bit life. That's our new advertising slogan right there. And you hear this episode somehow, you know, anybody within our generation, I say that, but even beyond, can all hum the Mario tune. And if you think about the idea that that was developed by, you know, by Koji Kondo. And it was like, you got to make music with three channels.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to make it catchy. And you got to make it, you know, elicit some feeling. And, you know, to go down, you know, so many years. And again, yes, music is, you know, we have some classic music that lasts longer for sure. You know, people can still, you know Beethoven and Mozart and things like that. But with technology changing so rapidly, that still sticks, you know, with everybody.
Yeah.
That to me is always, you know, I always think of that stuff when I start studying this older music and older video game music. I'm like, how the hell did you make this box do what it did? Because, again, I know what's in there now. I've learned as an adult. But it's just like, how the fuck did you take this and make a song that, you know, 30 some odd years, you know, as long as I've been alive, pretty much. Still, you know, recognizable, and that there's not a person on, you know, within the United States or on the planet. Like, it'd be hard to find somebody that you interact with that doesn't know who Mario is or couldn't do the do 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 do. You know, they may not necessarily know all the different versions or whatever, but they know that basic version, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny too, like, thinking back about, like, my childhood, like, I had maybe a portable cassette player, but, like, all the songs I remember are, like, Kirby soundtrack from the Game Boy, Pokemon soundtrack, Tetris soundtrack, like, F1 Racer, like, all those things that just, I don't know, it's, like, ingrained, you know?
Yeah, and it's, and so for me, you know, that, everything, like, that's what chiptunes mean to me. All right, let's go back to talking again, because we're almost out of time, but we'll run a little bit longer, because, fuck it, this is a kind of fun conversation. So, what was the biggest technical hurdle of doing this? Because, again, you had a venue this time go around, and it wasn't a typical venue.
Oh, barely. So last year we did the show at 21st Street Co-op.
Right.
And because we knew someone there who booked shows, but this year that changed. So we asked, like, since the start of the new year, so, like, January 1st, kept asking, like, hey, can we book this show? Oh, yeah, no, we're not booking shows right now. Wait till we come back into, like, the school semester.
Right, and here you
are. First day of the school semester, hey, can we book this show? Oh, no, yeah, we're totally booked up. Like,
yeah.
And so even a college dorm was like, chiptune, no, too.
That's that geeky shit.
Yeah. So then it was either like a house show.
Can you bring in the hip hop element?
Yeah. No, or just the, like, weird noise or like.
Do you have anyone that sounds Skrillex like?
Yeah. Or just like noisy rock.
Yeah.
Like,
whatever. What? Yeah. No, it's okay. Not chiptunes.
Anyways. It's fine. So it was either like a house show, which are fun, but it's like, I feel weird, like, asking people coming in from town, like, oh, you're coming in from California?
This is exactly where it finds weird. Can you play
a living room, you know? Like, and everyone's so nice, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, I'd love to.
Well, because the beauty, and this is, you feel weird because I understand where you're coming from, is that the idea of, like, it's during South by Southwest. You know, we're not playing at a venue downtown, but you want to make sure that they have a place that feels like a concert.
Well,
versus, like, well, we're having a little party in my living room. You know, I understand where they're coming from. Like, of course, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Some of the best shows are the most intimate, to be honest.
Yeah, no.
But again,
Slime Girls and Astro Skeleton toured from California to here, played in, like, Arizona and Oklahoma. Anyways, they played a show in Denton that was just a house show, and, like, were telling us about it, that it seemed like the coolest thing. There was, like, this, like,
Yep.
Crazy dorm or house, whatever, with like swords that they could just like stab things. They wanted to them to like break an old guitar they had with like cut it in half with a sword. They had like weird anime stuff everywhere.
This is the thing we need to start telling more stories about.
And like, okay, so like I get that for like, oh, that seems like a cool house show, but like, is anyone going to buy merch?
Right, exactly.
And I hate to reduce it to that, but you do have to pay for gas
All these are important components of a live show, and it's, you know.
As an organizer, I do feel like, all right, I get that like people are trying to like cover costs and also like play a good show and also like get the word out and like have people have like their cool shirts or stickers or whatever.
Well, because on your side of not only, as sort of, you know, promoter, you want to make sure it's a good venue and have the bands that, but on your musical interest of chiptune side of things, it's kind of hard to say, come on down to my friend's house and watch the show versus like, a come on down to some type of venue, you know, or the idea of people just walking by and saying, what the fuck is that going
for
on?
For sure. There? Yeah. Yeah. And also, okay, so it's the PWR venue and a lot of the PWR people went, Party World Wrestling, and like, just having a space that's like a space that people know, oh, I've been to a show there before,
right.
So I know what to expect, kind of, rather than just like, well, I'm going to be at a weird house. I don't really know anyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
I personally love house shows, but like at the same time, if it's going to be a big thing, like I don't want it to
I think
be
what
in
makes
a house.
The appeal of house shows great is that this is very much a house party, and it's like, you know, only so many people get invited, and that's cool for a party, and I think that's the important part of that. You can have a band play a party like that. I think that's appropriately fine, whatever. Or you have a DJ, you know, spinning. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
But if you're having, like, a lineup, a venue of sorts, I think a venue is the better option. One, because people will go there just to kind of go to the venue. Like, oh, yeah, I've been to that place. Or, oh, you know, I've never been to that brewery. Let me go go there and drink a few beers. You know, there's certain things that – you know, I think like hearing the story of the house party, like that sounds amazingly punk.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm with you. I go like, yeah, but I know that that was a very small, intimate thing. That's why they could get away with it. Where versus if it was on stage, sure, it's a big kind of thing. But people were there that had no idea what this was going to happen, and I think that was interesting. People just started wandering in, and that's what I like. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And
I love explaining this stuff to people.
So anyways, luckily we've got a lot of crossover with PWR, so. Right. Sievert, Mysterious H, and Yadagarasu, who didn't play this show, but he does do other chip stuff, and Monster Vision. They're all wrestlers now.
Why not?
Seriously.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah, but it's a great league what they're doing, but they've kind of stopped music for the most part. So they've got this great space, and they've got good contacts with the venue. Everyone's like friends, and it's cool. So they, without them, there would have been no Square by Square Wave 4 at all. So, we talked to them. The Fourth Tap guys were awesome. They didn't know anything about chiptune, but they were like, yeah, we love helping out local scenes.
Well, because whose idea, and maybe this is, I don't know if it was them, maybe it was you that had this idea, because I kept noticing in the bar itself.
Yeah?
That, because I'd be sitting down waiting for the show to begin, and I go, did I just hear an Undertale remix song?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they asked us beforehand, like,
okay,
hey,
this is you
what should we put the soundtrack on? And I was, like, plugging in, like, amps and mics and stuff, so I didn't know. But I told Jared Sievert to just, like, I trust you, just do something.
Thank you, Sievert, because I kept hearing Undertale. Like, I kept getting a glimpse of, you know, certain music geeky things. And I go, hear Undertale, I go, did I just hear Undertale?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to kind of, you know, perk my ear up a bit higher, and then talking with one of the other people there that, I think she had I didn't catch the girl's name, but she had like a Starman tattoo, which is kind of fucking cool. And
yeah, yeah.
And just chit-chatting with her. I think she's like, because she saw the LED badge, and somebody started talking about Undertale or whatever. And, but yes, because it was I thought it was a really cool venue. I thought it was a really kind of,
Love Fourth Tap.
Weirdly chill back.
Yeah, it's a great space. I hope that they stick around forever, because I want to book with them. Like,
I hope so,
like,
too.
Like, if I ever do another show, like, I really want it to be there, because Austin, all the venues that we've ever booked at have basically either gone out of business or been, like, we've been priced out of it. So it's like, oh, yeah, you want to do a show? Well, you can have a Tuesday night, and it's got to be a $5 door cover. Like, you can't sustain a scene like that.
No,
you know,
can't. I mean, so, it's tough because Austin is a music town. When I say it's a music town,
yeah,
I mean it's a very specific type of music town, and no one ever talks about that part.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, bands tour here now and, like, whatever, but it's, I don't know, all the, like, local scenes and stuff, it's, like, hard to like, actually see them surviving, because there's just not really good spaces for music that maybe we'll only bring in 20 people, maybe they'll bring in 100 people,
and I think
we don't know.
That's something important to talk about, especially when it comes to chiptunes, is that it is still this... we keep saying niche, but I mean, like, it's very much a very specific crowd that comes.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause again, if you could somehow spin the message to say this is punk.
Yeah,
I
but
think
it's
that
not.
I know it's
the
not.
Problem.
I know it's not punk. But I'm saying, like, the closest equivalent I can give. And I don't mean, and again, it's hard.
Yeah.
For me, we've had this conversation before because we've done, you know, for me, it's more of a, that punk is a spirit and less of a genre type anymore.
For sure,
it's more
for
of this,
sure.
Like, because again, you start talking about what is punk. Like, well.
No, yeah, but
what
you
is
can't
anything?
Really explain that to anyone.
Right. You know,
yeah.
It's like, well, it could be this. It could be pop punk that. It could be whatever. Because again, you start saying, well, you know, what kind of punk band did you grow up with? Well, I grew up with, you know, NOFX and Bad Religion.
Yeah,
like, what'd you grow up with? Well, I grew up with, you know, with Blink 182 and blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah. And like, okay, well. We both have the same, you know, both have different, you know, punk backgrounds, so to speak, but we're both in the same kind of, you know, music genre. It's like, it's almost like looking at alternative, you know, and that is a weird label because everything kind of gets lumped in alternative, which I always love that fact that everything's just like, well, it's not really rock. It's not really anything else. Eh, fuck, it's alternative.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just kind of ship it away. Technically, all music is punk, Ash says in the chat room, and I would totally agree. all good music, typically. And again, if punk is a spirit, then that. But I do get that because it's hard to say to get somebody who isn't already predisposed to the idea of hearing music done.
Mm-hmm.
And again, on its very basic level, this is just a very generalization from the outside point of view.
Yeah,
talking to somebody who's not predisposed to hearing music on an old console, that's the hard pull.
Yeah,
sometimes
it's definitely hard to have, like, a general person see it as not a, like, a gimmick or something.
Yeah.
Like, it does take a little bit of, like, time to be like, okay, well, I can distinguish between the sounds and see, like, this is not just a Game Boy or not just a Nintendo. They're doing something else behind the scenes. Or even, like, compositionally, there's, like, a lot to dig at if you want to invest the time. But, I mean, people don't want to. They don't have to, you know? Like,
right. I
sometimes it's not so immediate.
I think what's going to end up happening, and we'll get back to it about the event, I think what's going to have to happen is that we're going to have a lot of the – a lot more of the crossover artists sort of kind of happen. Like, and I mean the idea of, like – like, I think somebody like Megaran, impartial, but
no, yeah,
you know,
awesome.
I'm impartial to Raheem, and Raheem's a friend of the, you know, friend of the show and a very good friend of mine that I love to death. He's the kind of guy that, because he can have, you know, chip-tuney songs as his backing music, so to speak, and still rhyme like anyone's business and then do other things in nerdcore and other things in hip-hop, I think he's, like, the artist that could potentially bring people into the fold.
Yeah.
That aren't in the fold already.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how many times I've, like, said this sentence in the past year or whatever. Like, I don't really like nerdcore, but I really like Megaran. Like, you need those artists who are, like, even if it's, like, I don't really like chiptune, but I like Onomatoguchi.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It's like, well, that's good enough sometimes.
Well, because,
like,
it's just a matter of because ultimately what it is that when people say they don't like a certain music type, I think what they're saying is they don't like the stereotypical type of
music.
Or,
like, I haven't heard anything that I like yet. So, like, if there's something like, oh, you like Megaran, why don't you check out someone else?
You know, it's like,
oh,
you like Megaran, you may want to, you know, if you like this kind of stuff, you may want to check out this other nerdcore artist, or maybe this other hip-hop artist, or, you know, you like the backbeats of that guy.
Yeah.
Well, that guy that typically does it's Colin Murdoch. You may want to check his other, if you like hip-hop, you might check his other band, Panacea, and you may dig that more, you know, that kind of thing. It's sort of, pointing them in the direction they need to get to realize that this music, thing is wider than just this one artist.
Yeah, and just something to latch onto. And even like IOID, like when we would do a TX Trip show and like IOID would play, I know people would come specifically because, like, I've seen IOID before. I know that he's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Oh, wait. Oh, I also really like Beanox. Yep. I never even knew about him. Oh, right. Cool.
And that's sort of the thing. And that's kind of where a venue becomes very, you know, happy, because it's not this, oh, I'm going to a house party. Like I mentioned, it's like, oh, cool. It's like, oh, who's playing? Oh, IYD. Oh, dude, I love IYD. Where's he playing at? He's playing Elysium, bro. Let's go to Elysium then.
Yeah,
no. Woo! And then they go and say, holy shit, who's this other guy? And that that I think is the appeal of why I enjoy the fact that you keep doing that, no matter what, beyond all, you know, beyond everything going against you at times, that you keep trying to pull this thing off. And I made sure at the night to say great job. I'm gonna say it again now. Thank you so much for pulling it off, because
for coming.
Well, because it's one of those things of, like, you know, we talk about the Texas scene, and it's like I love. Like, I need to start hanging out more with the Texas scene, because I always miss a chance to hang out, and I always either forget or something happens. Some much like, it's like on Tuesday, and it's like, I work on Tuesday night. It's just like, what do? You know, because I want to, because the beauty part of kind of getting into a music scene or anything is just kind of meeting the community and meeting the people within it, and having a conversation with somebody that kind of knows. Even if they don't know how the music's made, they can talk about, yeah, have you heard this other band? No, I have not. Let me check them out, and that kind of thing. And have that for me, of course, buying merch is always kind of fun, and buying a CD. But even without that level, just being able to interact with a band or an artist or just any or fans of that artist is always fun for me, because you start to meet people, and then you can kind of, you know, have the community. You know, again, that's the beauty part of a good show, is that you meet a community kind of thing. Like every year, and I'll talk about this later with another friend of mine, at South By, I go to this event called Japan Night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized going there this year that there's some people I only see that time, and it's like I've known them for like 8 years because I've been going to this event
every single
years.
Japan Night. Yeah,
every single Japan Night. It's like this like yearly reunion of family, and it became very apparent. I was like waiting in line. I'm like, hey, how's it going, Keith? Or hey, holy shit, Rick, you're here finally. And it became this like very weird.
Mm-hmm.
We only hang out during this one time, and yet, you know, we have so much in common. And we have all these conversations, and. I think that's half the fun of a venue, of a music thing, is that you start seeing the same people in a good way. You start seeing the same people.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's the thing about having like a space to pull off something like a scene where people can just, it becomes routine, and it doesn't have to be like a struggle every time. And like most of the time people say, oh, you did a show 2 months ago. Oh, I didn't even know about it. Like, well, you know, I guess got to try harder next time. But like, but you know, it's like how, yeah, it's
well. Then here's the question then. And since we're almost out of time here for definitely, we've definitely gone away longer than normal. What was the hardest thing of promoting this event? I mean, because again, I heard about it because you and I are friends on Facebook.
Yeah, I still don't know anything about promoting. I have a friend who works at Facebook in Austin, and he gets like free advertising from them. So he helped advertise it like social media. But other than like posting it to every single South by Southwest like listing that exists, and like sending emails to like Chronicle and like other local whatever's listing events, like I don't really know.
I will say I will say this year did have the weird, you know, comedian come up on stage, and who was it that came up on stage?
Hannibal Buress.
Yeah,
that was bizarre. He tweeted at Slime Girls.
Yeah,
he tweeted something. Slime Girls responded, and then within like 2 hours, he was like, "I'll be there."
That's a pull.
Yeah,
that's a random pull.
That was definitely, I mean, welcome for sure, but like one of those like, well. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Fuck it, right?
You know, yeah.
All promotion is promotion.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's. I guess really, you just depend on word of mouth, and like if people know about it, then they're gonna tell their friends. I called into like radio stations, and that seemed to like play similar styles of music, and like people seem to know about it if they cared about this, like about the genre in general. But
well, because I think. I think chiptunes in Texas, and I say Texas just because, you know, that I think there is a healthy scene. It's just we're so damn spread out.
Yeah, it's spread out, and there's, like, not stuff that really happens but once or twice a year.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know, you hold an event, and then people show up like clockwork.
Right, that's exactly what it is. That's sort of the thing, is that, like, there's some, you know, if we could have a regular yearly event sometime, that's good enough. I mean, I'd love more often for sure, but sometimes you just got to take what you can get.
Yeah, and I'm you know, as a little end note, I'm already thinking about trying to do something in the summer as a square by square wave, like 0.5, like a fundraiser type thing.
I would go for sure.
Try and get a lot of local people and maybe make some money to then bring out more people for square by.
Which is the thing that's, because that's ultimately the hardest part, is that the beauty part of chiptunes, I think the beauty part of music now, and this is something I had this conversation with, I know it's almost become the reoccurring theme of this podcast and the reoccurring discussion point of this show, mm-hmm. is the idea that because of tech now and because of, like right now what we're doing, I couldn't have done 10 mm-hmm. years ago.
Or two years ago.
I could barely that, you know, I couldn't have dreamed this 10 years ago, you know, to do what I'm doing now, streaming to the internet and mm-hmm. recording this on that and putting online, doing all that stuff. Same thing happens with music, you know, because of things of services like Bandcamp and you know, even things like, I guess, CD Baby, I think it's
CD Baby was one of the first.
Right.
Yeah, Bandcamp kind of like took
right.
over.
Yeah, yeah, Bandcamp became more of like the indie side of things. But, you know, the services let you sort of make it very easy mm-hmm. to put yourself on, either as a solo marketplace like in Bandcamp
yeah.
or CD Baby in terms of things putting yourself on like the iTunes Store and Amazon
Spotify,
and stuff like
Spotify. Yeah.
You know, all this sort of stuff makes it easy. Or even the idea of like putting your music on YouTube, you know. It's very easy to put your stuff out there mm-hmm. From anywhere. So you could be in Japan and have our, you know, have fans in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It is, however, still very expensive to fly from
yeah.
said country
Gosh.
To said other place.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't talk about we never talk about that in bands.
Yeah.
We never talk about the idea of like flight costs or car or gas. No one ever really mentions, you know. No one mentions it because it never comes up like we need gas money. It's like, no, we actually do need gas money. It's hard to explain that to people who come to shows because they're there to have fun, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be bumming around in the minutia of like, well, I'm glad you're enjoying Hallie, but he needs at least $1,000 to fly back home. Else he's not going home in that open jar flight anymore.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about that because it doesn't come up as it shouldn't. It's not, you know,
yeah.
No offense to the artist, but it's not the responsibility of the audience to be, not in a bad way. Just, you know, that's not the purpose of this. But even that said, as a promoter, you know. You want to bring all these bands from either the UK or Europe or even as simple as across the state,
from the States.
Yeah.
Is such, I don't know, like for someone to drive anywhere, it's like a couple hundred bucks or whatever. And like, if they're not touring and if like, I don't know, it's nice that we have a solid group of people nearby enough, like Kansas, Oklahoma.
Right.
Neighboring Texas places that will just like show up because it's fun and because it's easy for them. Like, okay, well, it's like 8 hours to drive or whatever. Like, they can swing that. But yeah, anything else, it's just you have to just depend on someone saying, oh yeah, I want to go anywhere. Or, I'm going to be there just by happenstance.
Right.
Otherwise, it just like doesn't happen. You know?
Right. Because it becomes this very, again, if you can plan it and so, because again, it doesn't sound like a lot of money in the end of it all. And ultimately it isn't. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, but it's the idea of if it's going to happen, is it going to happen this date? And if it is, I buy a ticket and it still requires a process of having a place to stay and everything else.
That too. And all the logistics, but even like a big issue was like with Slime Girls, that's a 4-piece now. So like, can every single
yep.
person take off work like for
yeah.
that time? Like there's so many things that just like it.
I mean, even if you're a working musician and you're touring that kind of thing, like Megaran came into town for South By, but he was like fucking jam packed. Like he
for
was
sure.
playing like three different shows.
Well, you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's off literally to San Antonio. And I think now he's in Louisiana. You know?
You can't stop.
Yeah. And so you start talking about those sort of things, like you're a working musician, like you know, the idea of like, well, can you come for this, and would you be free for this time? It's like,
yeah.
It's like, no, I'm being in Dallas,
for sure.
And then I won't be in town until X time, and
yeah, and that's another thing that kind of sucks about South By, in that it's getting bigger, which is nice, but it's also expanding the dates. So
yep.
now, like, there's people who are in town for sure, like for South By, but not in town specifically for Square by Square Wave, or like,
yep,
it in certain and like you can't, like, it's a whole week of music, so you, it's hard to plan. It is. Okay, everyone just support artists. As a closing note, just support artists. It's hard out there. It's real hard.
It is. It's one of those things that we don't talk about, but we have to.
And
because
getting a dollar even from, like, Bandcamp or whatever is, like, such an uplifting moment. Just,
yep,
like, wow.
I agree.
It doesn't mean anything really, but it means everything.
I always make
on a
sure
level, like,
I'm gonna say this as a person that buys music, though I prefer buying things digitally,
yeah,
because at the end, like, I'm right now in the process of ripping everything for Japan Night, and though I typically listen to music on this little iPhone here, whenever I'm at a concert, I make at least one effort as much as I can, at least buy one piece of merch, one CD, one album, even if it's just one album of a, you know, just new. I try my best to buy everything. You know, I bring money with me specifically to go and say that. It's become easier now because a lot of artists have, like, you know, Square readers and things like that, so I can kind of use a card. But I always make sure to have a little bit of cash on me to buy some music at the event because I know that, you know. For me, it's always interaction, and I love buying CD because I can have that interaction with the artist really quick. It's very quick, easy way to say, like, I can have my minor interaction saying, like, man, you're pretty awesome. Like, this is great music, whatever, and have that discussion.
And that's also, if you can't buy anything, just, like, saying that to someone for sure is way more important.
I always make sure, no matter what, if I'm able to, if I bump into the artist, to always say, a great show, you know, even if I only kind of liked it. Not usually I always like it, but even if I don't, I know that it's hard to just go up on stage and do this.
Yeah.
Only because, again, I if I think, like, what if I were up on there? How would I panic?
Like, well, and that's the thing, too, is, like, it's also not, and this is not something that you have to think about for every show or whatever, but, like, okay, they get up there and they do the thing. That's one thing. But, like, there are, like, days and weeks of preparation that you'll never even, like, know about, and, like, anxieties and stress and so many things for them just to get up there and, like, be there. Yep. That's why it's important to, like, just say, great job.
Right, no. Like,
even that great job, two words, will make it all worth it for them. They'll come back.
Well, because it's so funny you bring that up. It's like every – that's almost like, again, another weird recurring theme of this show is having – I've seemed to have found my niche in, like, weird music stuff and having those artists on here. And that's always a conversation we have is that, you know, it's strange going up on stage performing because, again, all of the errors – that could happen are amplified by a million to you.
Mm-hmm.
We, the audience, don't notice them. And that's the trick that's hard to, you know, no matter what, it's hard to ever comprehend. Even though in the back of mind, you know, like, they'll never know that I fucked up this.
Yeah.
But I'll know I fucked up
this. Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, what if that one guy knows I fucked up this?
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it doesn't even matter that you screwed it up because the audience is like, great job, awesome, woo,
yeah.
But in your back of your mind, like, I played that note wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll always haunt me for the rest of my days.
For sure, no, yeah. Yeah, you remember the bad shows for sure.
Well, like, not even that. Yeah, but not even, like, the bad shows, but even, like the minor issues that aren't really issues, but they're issues to you because you had been prepping this for days
so
on end to get it to execute just right. Because in your mind, you're here to make me, the audience member, enjoy this and you know, to have that connection. And that's why, again, I always make that effort to say thank you for putting on a show, an awesome job, no matter what, because it's something that I understand, just like, that is the toughest thing to kind of just get to doing is performing that. And again, Jacob, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you so much for pulling off this event, because I think it's important to have scenes for certain type for music.
Yeah.
And very much sort of centralized. Not saying that they can't be, like, crossover for sure. There can always be crossover. That's never, you know, you can always have a non-chiptunes act, I think, at a chiptunes concert, so long as they're kind of like it wouldn't feel out of place to have, like, Descendants of Erdrich play a square by square wave.
For sure.
You know, again, that might be my impartial because, you know, I love
them. No, they're great.
Yeah.
I really like them a lot. We play shows with them.
Yeah.
And it's always, it's fun.
they have a, you know, again, yes, chiptunes is more than just video game music, But yeah. If we talk about the origins of chiptunes music, a lot of it is video game music.
It's appreciating the same source
exactly.
of things in different ways.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, yeah. you could, Descendant of Erdrick, yes, we'll be playing Chrono Trigger music, but they do a compilation where they kind of put their own spin on it and, mm-hmm. you know, everything else, again, by Live Element and all stuff. So I am very glad you pulled this off. And I really look forward to hopefully you guys pulling off again.
Yeah.
And if you pull off a thing in summer, you know, God willing, I will make it my damn effort. If not, you have like a GoFundMe, I'll put at least money towards it.
Okay, cool.
Because I do believe that there needs to be that kind of thing. Because again, when you go to these events, it's not like people who are new to the genre don't go and see, oh shit, those are Game Boys, and their eyes don't go wide. And you know, people who are new to that, like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like they don't, you know, it's not like they don't get it. They get it. They can get it very quickly. It's just if you do it right, you know, you start getting more people. And the idea of, again, because we're mentioning the IOID kind of thing and everything else. And, you know, you bring in like, oh, who's coming to Square by Square Wave? Oh, yeah, we got this guy out of Japan. What?
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
this guy?
No, yeah, for sure.
Or it's like, oh, yeah, we got BitShifter. What?
Does he even do chiptune anymore?
I don't even know. I know he's still tweeting. I know he's like, he tweets
himself.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I think he does chiptune. I bet
you. I see him around the internet, but I mean like in person.
I think I don't know if BitShifter does anymore. I know NullSleep still does kind of.
He does more like analog synthy stuff, yeah. which is fine.
Right, but
like,
the thing is, it's still, you know, it's still.
Everyone's kind of around, but not exactly. But
well, I think it's that.
Try and get them together, maybe.
I think ultimately everyone's. The best way I can put it is that everybody's experimenting with the next thing.
And that's great.
Because they figured, not because the chiptunes aren't that, but you know, you mentioned analog synths, you know, people are you know,
well,
people are going back well, to further.
And that kind of gets to the heart of like what is interesting about chiptune to me is this really like insatiable like curiosity yeah. and like want to discover something new. And that seems like to be, whether it's like hardware based or music based or like songwriting based or anything, the scene is just like super thriving with like very smart and talented people.
That's exactly
and
where
like,
I come from.
I'm going to, and like, okay, if Astro Skeleton never plays another note on a Nintendo, I'm still going to like listen to everything he does.
Right.
Because that's like, it's that spirit
yeah.
rather than that sound.
And I think that's the important thing. And that's sort of the thing that a scene can help, because ultimately, because we're not, you know, and I think this is something that we have to say about chiptunes, and I mean, that's why I keep saying punk as a thing, because,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, punk to me is always this, yeah, we're anti-establishment or whatever, but it's always this, you know, very much an inviting spirit. We don't shun anybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're all equal in the pit, so to speak, and if you fall down, we pick you up, you're good, you're ready, all right, get the fuck back in there and start, you know, start moshing like, you know, like an asshole. But, you know, we're all in this together, and I always felt that was the endearing quality of chiptunes, was that here is this weird amalgamation of people that really like the sound of the Nintendo, the Game Boy, and the Genesis and other things. How do they make music out of this weird little toy of ours?
Yeah, and always pushing to see what else can be done.
Right, what else can we make music with? Or the idea of, like, you know, because again, you start telling people who are really into synths, you know, it's not that they get into, oh, they like, you know, this one's like, no, they love their specific Moog, or they love this, like, again, even me, like, as a chiptunes guy, like, I've now gone like, oh, you know, I like this, I like the Yamaha chip. Now that I'm into it, I'm like, I could rattle off, be like, oh, yeah, that's a VRC6 chip that was, you know, made mm-hmm. by Konami for, you know, I can do all that and not even bat an eyelash now. Whereas the younger version of me would have been like, why does Castlevania 3 sound so different now?
Yeah.
You know, not knowing what that meant until years later and everything else.
Yeah.
Jacob, always a pleasure.
Yeah,
to
thanks
bat.
For having me. All right, back.
If people want to help support you as an artist and help, you know, all the shit that you do,
yeah.
and you know, we're talking about that, where can people find all the stuff for you guys?
TX Chip on Facebook. We have a Twitter account, but it never posts anything, so I go to Facebook, but my own music is Love Hurts or yep. Chalkboards. Chalkboards is going to have a new album this year. Love Hurts might, maybe. We'll at least have some singles.
I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward, because I think Anna runs the Twitter for Chalkboards.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw her tweet saying, that she wanted to play a chalkboard band.
Yeah, we're
going
to do a show
for three people. I go, can I be one of those three people? Yeah. She's like, yeah, I trust you. I'm like, thank God. I so want to. And Love Hurts is it's Hurts, like the Hurts. Like
H-Z.
H-Z.
It's not an abbreviation. It's right. A term. Look it up.
Yeah,
it's a
frequency.
It's a frequency
Hurts. So just to make sure, because I think Ash, when you hear Hurts, you think Love Hurts as opposed to love as in the Hurts wave.
Our Facebook chat for Love Hurts is disgusting. It's just puns. So like,
of course.
So we made up the Love Hurts name as a dumb joke, and now it's our name, and we all hate it equally. But we're all.
You know what? That almost reminds me. And I know we're having. We're supposed to be at the end of the show, wrapping things up. But it almost reminds me of the of the Love Ages. It reminds me of the. You've seen the movie Can't Hardly Wait, right?
No.
You've never? Oh, my God. Okay.
I'll go home and watch it.
So this is old 90s movie called Can't Hardly Wait. And it has, I'll tell you how 90s this was. This is so 90s that it was back when Seth Green had a movie career. I could jokingly say that. No, he still has a career. But there's this band in it called Love Burger that like is playing a show at a house. And...
That'd be a really popular band right now. Maybe there's the greatest thing
about this because the movie has like it's this weird fucking love story bullshit, and it has like 80 billion B-lines going on in the film, and this is the B-line that's like in the background of this band that like they're playing a house party. They end up like busting out T-shirts or something. They somehow like they break up during the party. And at the end, before the party's broken up, they end up getting back together to play that one last song. It's like the weirdest B-line story.
That's great.
Because if you just follow that line alone, it's really not a big plot of the movie at all. Mm-hmm. But it's just this weird thing of like you see a band go from like, and again, they weren't like anything but a high school senior year. So it's like the high school band, or whatever. It's just so funny because I think of like Love Hurts as like my brain always goes to like Love Burger. It's such a bizarre.
We'll make a song called Love Burger.
I'll just show you this. We're done with this. I'll show you some scenes because it's such a beautiful moment of that movie of like this band that like begins, ends, and like, you know, we had a really good thing. And the thing is, it's all within the span of the same party.
Yeah,
it's not like an hour. It's not like a day, like exactly like an hour or two, whatever the time frame in the movie is. It's not like a day passed. It's like 4 hours they're about to play. Just like, yeah. And that's when the cops bust the door down. They're just like, fuck, and like book it and shit. And it's just such a weird thing of like this Love Burger shirt. Just like, it's like they had T-shirts made. And like one of the bands is like, what are you doing? Why are we doing like this? We're looking too commercial. Like, it's a beautiful moment in that movie. It's one of my all time favorite like jokes in that. But back to your spiel. Sorry.
Just go to Facebook, text Chip. You'll find out about whenever the next show is.
Yep.
I don't know when it is. You'll find out about it when I do.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But so long as you guys keep it going, because like the joke is always, and it's a bad joke, but it's still a joke. And it comes up enough that I think we need to start changing the tune of it. Is that, oh, I thought TX Chip was dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think we need to start changing that message. I think we need to start figuring out a way to change that message because hopefully. It's every time.
I mean,
I can't say it without like
no,
without
yeah.
fail. Someone says, "Oh, I thought you guys were dead."
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah. We even like a couple years ago, we had a TX Trip is not dead show and things like that. So I don't know. We'll see. Fourth Tap. Check out Fourth Tap too if you're around because it's a great venue. That's probably where we'll be next.
Ash is in the chat room. Potential title: TX Chip isn't dead. Was it Paul McCartney? It says who's it? The rumors of our death are I'll forget it. Some quote, whatever.
All right.
So if of course you want to find me, I'm at Vincent404. They're in the chat rooms and of course the Twitters. If you want to catch some of our previous episodes, head over to our website, cosmicradiotv.com/8bitlife. There are fun links to show notes, previous episodes as mentioned. Of course, we've had some fine episodes with you. And of course, if you're curious as to who the hell made that song at the beginning, because I've actually had friends of mine say, oh, hey, what song did you use for that? I'll say, well, it's actually custom. It's actually made by this guy right here. He's actually the creator of the 8-Bit Life theme song. So.
Can't wait to hear the remix.
And of course, if you want to help out this show after you've helped out all the TX Chip stuff and made sure we have chip tunes here, you want to help this show become a little bit bigger, better, and more awesomer, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll do a live show and a live interview at a TX Chip event.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Wow. So that's it for day two. Next time, we'll talk about the geek, also being completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.